It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Fall from grace.
The bullying, the harassment, the abuse, it's never been more clear that Cuomo's got to go.
That is our top story at noon. The countdown to Cuomo's ouster underway after a third woman came forward last night accusing the governor of New York of sexually harassing her. 33-year-old Anna Ruck, a former member of the Obama administration, claims the governor grabbed her and kissed her without her consent. Miranda Devine writes for the New York Post.
All the people he's bullied and all the power that he's abused. And unfortunately for him, but not for the rest of us, he's finally reached the end of the road. And that's only because the Democrats decided he was of no more use. He had served his purpose as a foil against Donald Trump.
As news of Governor Cuomo's third accuser was breaking last night, his brother Chris at CNN was breaking his silence about the mounting scandal.
Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. And obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother. Of course, CNN has to cover it. I have always cared very deeply about these issues and profoundly so.
Hillary Clinton also finally breaking her silence on the issue, too, saying all the women who've come forward deserve to be heard and all New Yorkers deserve answers. Republican State Senator Rob Ort.
It was whispered about. It was talked about at, you know, local bars and restaurants and sort of in the salons here in Albany and maybe in New York City, but never reported.
Ort has called on the governor to step down for the good of all New Yorkers. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says the true crime here maybe on the part of the mainstream media.
I couldn't walk 3 feet during the Kavanaugh hearing without some reporter sticking a microphone in my face. What do you think about the new accusation? And the idea that Kavanaugh was guilty was pervasive. The accusation was self-proving. I haven't had one person ask me about the accusations against Governor Cuomo from the media. Not one.
The sexual harassment allegations come on the heels of the nursing home scandal in New York. The governor under investigation for signing an order a year ago that sent COVID-infected patients into those facilities and then allegedly covered up the 15,000 deaths that resulted from it.
Now that we're into a potential criminal investigation of this governor, his mandate, and the killing of 15,000 seniors, and if we go back to Al Capone, they got him on tax evasion. Right. They'll probably get this governor on Me Too.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean lost both her in-laws to COVID after they were sent to a nursing home last spring by Governor Andrew Cuomo. FBI Director Christopher Wray is the latest to appear before lawmakers. He's talking about the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol.
A large and growing number of the people that we have arrested so far in connection with the 6th are what we would call militia violent extremists. And then there have been some already that have emerged who I would have put in the racially motivated violent extremist bucket.
Ray says the mob that stormed the Capitol on January 6th may have also emboldened our enemies overseas.
Certainly, we think the events on January 6th have been, at a minimum, an inspiration to a number of terrorists. Extremists out there, and may even have been worse than that.
Ray says hundreds of suspects have been identified in a wide-ranging ongoing investigation. He also notes that domestic terrorism has been brewing for years and remains a top priority at the FBI. The Biden administration now blaming former President Trump for the surge of migrants at the southern border. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Quite frankly, the entire system was gutted. What we are seeing now at the border is the immediate result of the dismantlement of the system.
With more than 3,000 illegal crossings at the southern border every single day, Mayorkas is not calling the issue a crisis. Not yet, anyway.
The answer is no. I think there is a challenge at the border that we are managing, and we have our resources dedicated to managing it.
Those resources include opening multiple tent facilities along the South Texas border. The number of illegals trying to get into the U.S. now twice as high as it was during the final months of the Trump administration. Former DHS Secretary Chad Wolf.
Everyone knows there's a crisis going on, and I think that the leader of the department needs to be honest with the American people.
Former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer says there's a simple way the Biden administration could get a better handle on the southern border.
The message should be don't come illegally in any way, shape, or form. If you come illegally, we will stop you. You will not enter America. The Biden administration's created this crisis, and it is a crisis.
President Biden met virtually yesterday for the first time with his counterpart from Mexico. Those two talked about immigration and COVID-19. Millions of Americans are getting vaccinated against the coronavirus, like this woman in Miami.
It's a great relief. You can't see my ear-to-ear smile behind this mask.
Today, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine became the third COVID vaccine to hit the market in the U.S. Also today, the White House brokering a deal with Merck to help manufacture the shot.
This does not have the efficacy of the messenger RNA vaccines like Moderna and Pfizer, but it does help prevent hospitalizations and death, which is what is most important.
Infectious disease expert Dr. Eileen Marty says while COVID infection rates are down across the country, variants of the virus still pose a problem. Tomorrow, the U.S. House will approve a sweeping voting reform bill with zero Republican support. That's too bad, says Democratic strategist Marianne Marsh.
This shouldn't be a partisan issue. Voting in America should be an American issue and a matter of democracy.
Republican consultant Mike DeHaan says it's not undemocratic to support laws that protect the integrity of elections.
I know fraud happens. I know that it does exist. I just want to make sure that we as Republicans don't constantly lose this battle by saying we don't want more people to vote. We do want more people to vote. I think if we have more people to vote and we bring our message forward, we'll win.
The House bill would turn over the process of gerrymandering to independent commissions instead of state legislatures. A new study by the group Save the Children shows an estimated 17 million kids are going hungry in America. That's 6 million more than before the pandemic a year ago.
The data points to kids in rural areas, particularly those that are communities of generational poverty and those that are communities of color. On indicator after indicator, they are struggling more.
That's Save the Children spokesman Shane Garver. Still to come this Tuesday, Andrew Cuomo in trouble, Ben Walsh in campaign mode, and Chris Ray in the hot seat.
Good afternoon. We're talking about a cold day underway today, but briefly warmer weather due tomorrow. I'll have the complete forecast in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, March 2nd. Another call for Cuomo to quit. The top Republican in the New York State Senate says the governor needs to step down for the sake of all New Yorkers.
How can the needs of New Yorkers come before the needs of this administration as they deal with cooperating with these two investigations? And that was why I called for the governor to resign and step aside.
Western New York Republican Rob Ort says investigations into sexual harassment claims and COVID-19 nursing home deaths make it impossible for Andrew Cuomo to lead New York,
which is going to monopolize a lot of resources and time.
Everybody, including the governor, even with these allegations, is entitled to due process. So we would hope that the investigation is done in an expeditious manner.
Republican state senator and former Erie County, New York Sheriff Patrick Gallivan says Andrew Cuomo is innocent until proven guilty. Last night, a third woman came forward with sexual harassment claims against the governor. 33-year-old Anna Ruck says the governor grabbed and kissed her without her consent. Attorney Heather Hansen.
It seems pretty clear as you listen to all three women's recitations of facts that it was a flirtation. And that certainly starts to develop the type of conduct that supports a claim for a hostile work environment. Add to that the fact that Bennett, one of the accusers, was transferred further away from the governor. And all of a sudden the state has a problem as well.
Hansen says while Governor Cuomo could be removed from office, she thinks it'll have to be the governor himself who does the removing.
No one in New York has been impeached since 1913. And the standard for impeachment in New York is very vague. The statute that guides it is very vague. But even Democrats have alleged obstruction of justice on behalf of Cuomo for the nursing home stuff. I think that the House of Cards is starting to tumble. And if Cuomo doesn't resign, he's got a very, very difficult 2021 ahead of him. I don't think, however, that he will ultimately be impeached.
State Attorney General Tish James in the process of hiring a legal team which will investigate the sexual harassment claims against the governor. This is the federal probe into the state's nursing home scandal continues as well. Police in Grace, New York, announcing today that a third person is now facing charges in connection to the abduction of two children from their foster home back in January. All three were arraigned this morning. The 3 and 5-year-old children were found 2 days after they were abducted, unharmed, in Alabama. The rollout of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine means teachers in Pennsylvania will soon get the jab.
The more people or the more entities that are manufacturing this vaccine, all of those factors will continue to bode well for the vaccination efforts in Pennsylvania, which have struggled.
Eric Hefty runs the Pharmaceutical Sciences Department at Harrisburg University. This woman says trying to get vaccinated against the virus has been frustrating in the Keystone State.
I do have vaccination frustration. Whatever vaccine becomes available to me, that's the one I will get. So I'm excited about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I want something that's going to get me out of my bubble and back with my family.
Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf is expected to announce sometime this week that with the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine now available, teachers across the Commonwealth can start scheduling appointments to get the shot. Pump prices in Pennsylvania hovering around the $3 a gallon mark. Congressman Glenn Thompson says it's a direct result of President Biden's energy policy.
The roads are busy. People are moving. The demand is there. And so, quite frankly, it should be affordable in this nation. But yeah, it's going the other way because of the policies that Joe Biden has put in place.
The price at the pump, 30 cents higher in Pennsylvania today than what it was a month ago. According to AAA, fuel costs will continue to climb at least through the start of the summer driving season. Syracuse Mayor Ben Walsh has formally announced his bid for re-election.
Make no mistake, we have a lot of work to do, a lot, which is why I'm so excited to be running for re-election, because I need every one of those 8 years to accomplish everything that I and we have set out to do.
Walsh says he'll be running again as an independent for the mayor of Syracuse. A new study shows a connection between social media use and binge eating in preteens. The University of California at San Francisco researched 9 and 10-year-olds for 1 year and found those who spent more time online tended to overeat. Scientists say learning to control social media early in life can help kids make healthier decisions as they get older. Let's pause for sports. We call it your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, the big sports story yesterday. Say what? J.J. Watt said no to the Buffalo Bills, Pittsburgh Steelers, where he could have played with his brothers, and the Cleveland Browns to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. In a tweet, Watt posted a picture of himself doing squats wearing a Cardinal shirt with the caption, "Source, me." The NFL Network reports the deal for 2 years, $31 million. Watt spent his first 10 years of his career with the Houston Texans. To the NBA, and shake, shake, shake. Shake Milton scored 26 off the bench. The 76ers beat the Pacers 130-114.
I don't think there was any change. I just think, you know, the ball was hopping. Everybody was getting a feel for it. Playing team basketball, everybody was moving, and that's what coach
in
wants.
San Antonio, triple-double for James Harden. 30 points, 14 boards, 15 assists. The Nets beat the Spurs 124-112 in overtime.
San Antonio was a great team. They're very disciplined. If you turn the basketball over, they'll make you pay for it. So it was emphasis for tonight. We did a good job.
The Nets have won 9 of their last 10 games. Colin Sexton dropped in 39 points for the Cavaliers in their 101-90 victory over the Rockets in Houston. That's the Rockets' 12th straight loss. J.B. Bickerstaff impressed by Colin Sexton.
He was not going to let us lose. And, you know, again, they do make it tough on you because they have some really good individual defenders. And they can switch length. You know, it turns into where you have to beat your man. And Colin, you know, has the ability to because, man.
In college basketball, Buddy Boeheim scored 26 to become a 1,000-point career score. Syracuse breathed some life into their NCAA tournament hopes by holding on for a 72-70 win against North Carolina. That's the good news locally. The bad news, in St. Bonaventure, Ebby Watson scored 14. Dayton shocking St. Bonaventure 55-52. The Bonnies have fallen to 13-4 on the year, 11-4 in the conference, and pretty much tied for VCU for the lead. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, another day, another Cuomo controversy. We'll have the latest one, plus helping kids cope with COVID. Meet today's hometown hero. And the lemonade stand in Birmingham, Alabama. You do not want to miss this one.
For the last several weeks, we've been fielding our listeners' questions on the Breakpoint Podcast. So far, this is the favorite question we've received. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Recently, a woman wrote to us with a question that I found both moving and important. Quote, for years, attending church meant singing in the choir, playing the bells, women's Bible study, organizing funeral dinners, cleaning the church, making banners. Now, I'm in my mid-70s, and all those things are not on my list anymore. I'm wondering, have I really been worshiping God all these years, or was it just busy work? Sorry to bother you, but I'm locked in my house now, and my resources are limited. Can I just take a minute and speak directly to this questioner? Thank you for trusting me with this question. I'm so deeply moved by your heart for the Lord and for His people and by your years of faithful, humble service. And I want to say to you, don't doubt for a moment that your work matters. Serving corporate worship, feeding the congregation, helping others grieve, celebrate, or just enjoy a beautiful space. All of that has been precious in God's sight. Look, we live in a culture that's captivated by the dramatic and the heroic, acts that make for headlines and exciting movies. Tragically, in this way, the church is too much like the culture. I'm convinced that those most likely to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, will be those who, like this listener, were faithful in many things that our world often considers mundane, busy work. A life spent in everyday faithfulness is the epitome of a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Of course, there's more to this listener's question. With so much of our church life and community service put on hold because of COVID, what does service to God and God's people look like now? Now, God calls every human to this kind of worship, and Christ restores us to it because we fail to live it out. Some will find the work of their hands to be big and bold things like speeches or battles or curing disease or passing historic legislation. Others will find the task at hand to be to raise children, to serve meals, to create a space for truth and worship, or other world-changing work that seems to us to be rather ordinary. This work is also worship, and it's also pleasing to God. Jesus reflected this truth in pointing out the widow and her mite. While the rich were dumping bags of gold into the temple coffer, this woman barely had two copper coins to rub together, and yet she dropped them both in. Jesus said she outgave them all. The point here is clear. The God who owns everything and has all power doesn't need our resources. He's not impressed by our resumes. Part of the gospel's very good news is that we can truly worship and glorify God wherever we are and no matter our circumstances. It's not about how great we are, it's about how great He is. Of course, our circumstances change, and it becomes really tough when our mission field seems to shrink. Every retiring CEO and every empty nester wonders to themselves, well, what now? The point is that God doesn't need us to do great things for Him. What He wants us to do is the next right thing, no matter where we find ourselves. As this listener has lived out so well, Christians should be with God's people and serve in the church whenever and wherever we can. At the same time, Scripture is also clear that everything done well in the created order to God's glory is also worship. So, keep up the good work to the glory of God wherever you find yourself, and you will truly be worshiping Him. And don't forget to join me and Shane every Wednesday on the Breakpoint Podcast as we take on and respond to the questions from our readers and listeners. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. Tuesday afternoon, we got a cold one out there. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The Arctic cold rush sending our temperatures tumbling last night remains in place today. but we'll hit the road tonight, and tomorrow is a milder day. On the weather map, though, we see a pattern that will likely bring in more cold air late this week and the weekend before a potentially more substantial warm-up arrives next week. For this afternoon, though, it's all about the cold. We'll have sun, mixed clouds, still a couple of scattered lake flurries around, high temperatures mid-20s to the mid-30s. Then for tonight, pretty clear in eastern Pennsylvania. Elsewhere, some clouds will arrive. Temperatures drop into the teens and 20s and rise overnight. Tomorrow, some sun and clouds, a late-day rain or snow shower western and central New York, but milder, high in the 40s. Colder again Thursday, sun, clouds, and lake flurries and high temperatures, mostly in the 30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, March 2nd. A third woman now accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. 33-year-old Anna Ruck was at a wedding when she said the governor asked if he could kiss her. Here's correspondent Deborah Alfaron.
Ruck says she was confused and shocked and embarrassed. The two other women who've accused Cuomo of sexual harassment tweeted support for Ruck. Lindsay Boylan wrote she feels nauseous thinking about Anna's experience. And Charlotte Bennett saying his inappropriate and aggressive behavior cannot be justified or normalized.
As Deborah Alfaron reporting, New York's attorney general says she is officially moving forward with an independent investigation. Political analyst Leonard Steinhorn says the end could be near for Andrew Cuomo.
Cuomo has always been known as a tough boss, and his history of lashing out at anyone who disagrees with him is well known. But sexual harassment goes far beyond this and takes his reputation for intimidating people to a completely new level.
A congressional Democrat, meantime, now calling for the resignation of Governor Cuomo. Congresswoman Kathy Rice of Nassau County made the plea last night. New York Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin.
Well, it's good to see that there are a lot of people in his own party who have had enough, are speaking up, standing up, and calling on Governor Cuomo to resign. The bullying, the harassment, the abuse, it's never been more clear that Cuomo's got to go.
The governor has now lawyered up, hiring a high-profile attorney to represent his case in court. FBI Director Christopher Wray says the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol was criminal behavior and an act of domestic terrorism.
It's got no place in our democracy, and tolerating it would make a mockery of our nation's rule of law.
Wray says hundreds of suspects have been identified in a wide-ranging, ongoing, in-depth investigation.
We're chasing down leads. We're reviewing evidence, combing through digital media to identify, investigate, and arrest anyone who broke the law that day.
Over 100 police officers were hurt that day when the U.S. Capitol was stormed by an angry mob. One officer was killed, Officer Brian Sicknick, among the five people to lose their lives that fateful day. Vaccinating America, the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine started arriving at hospitals all across the country today. Also today, the White House announcing that Merck will help manufacture the shot. Dr. Richard Bates from Midland, Michigan, says he's excited about the prospects of this one-shot vaccine, especially for rural hospitals like his.
Two-lane roads, dirt roads. Sometimes it's hard to get people for the first dose and then to ask them to come back. That can be quite a challenge.
Dr. Bates also likes the fact that the latest vaccine can be kept in standard refrigerators, which will make it easier to distribute.
That's going to be more accessible, and I won't have to be in the transport business.
Despite vaccination progress, the CDC director is urging folks to keep their face masks on and to continue social distancing to help stop the spread of those virus variants. Well, today is National Read Across America Day. It coincides with the birthday of the legendary children's author Dr. Seuss. The whimsical poet died in 1991, but his legend lives on with the event today that celebrates childhood literacy. Dr. Seuss, however, was snubbed at the official White House Read Across America proclamation. The cancel culture has banned several of his books, calling them racist. Dr. Carol Swain is an African-American literary expert.
Dr. Seuss was a person that promoted racial unity if they would take the time to study him, but they don't. They go after anyone and everyone, no one safe. What they're doing is dumbing down education. It hurts every student. We need to push back.
Virginia's largest school district has nixed Dr. Seuss from all its Read Across America Day events, citing alleged racial undertones in his books. Joe Biden is the first president in more than two decades not to mention Dr. Seuss by name on National Read Across America Day. Vernon Jordan, the civil rights activist and former advisor to President Bill Clinton, has died. Vernon Jordan was 85. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Kevin Drake with Upward Sports. He's using the pandemic to make inroads in the lives of high school athletes all across the country. When you look at sports, you look at kids, you look at COVID, where are you guys kind of stepping in and meeting needs during this pandemic?
It's been obviously an interesting time and a challenging time for all of us. And we're Upward has really, I think, stood in the gap over the last 10 months or so during this pandemic is in assisting our church partners to be able to host COVID-safe, CDC guideline-based leagues at their churches or at facilities in their communities. And as you know, there's a big gap between, you know, normal rec leagues and school leagues due to the pandemic. And so we've been able to step into that gap and offer modified leagues for church partners. So we've had a number of churches that have been able to successfully host leagues in the last 10 months. Mm. So we're excited about that as we move forward.
You mentioned a good point there with a lot of public schools not having a season. You guys are kind of filling in, maybe picking up where the schools have dropped the ball.
That's correct. And so we've got over 1,200 church partners across the nation, and you know you have experience with Upward as the coach, so you understand how Upward works. But it really is a great way for churches to partner in their communities to be able to bring sports. And we know that sports speaks a universal language to many people, regardless of their backgrounds. And so, yes, we've been fortunate to be able to be a part of what churches have done through the pandemic. And as we begin to come out of the pandemic, one of the things that we did really early on was recognize that churches had a unique challenge and a unique opportunity. And so we developed a lot of indoor basketball league opportunities for camps. We developed a program called Stay in the Game. And folks can find out more about that on upward.org.
Yeah.
But it really is about how do we as believers engage the community with the gospel through sports.
Yeah. We're speaking with Kevin Drake with Upward Sports, and you alluded to it earlier, Kevin, just about the importance that sports play in the life of a young kid, especially when you're in a health crisis. Sports is a really vital tool for these kids. You look at the suicide rates among kids over the past year or so, it's just exploding and your heart breaks. But share with us why sports matters so much, especially now.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bill. And so I will cite a study that we're aware of. The Aspen Institute did a study called 2020 Project Play. And in that study, they found out that time spent by children on outdoor activity, on sporting events, has declined 59%. And it's down significantly since the pandemic. And so the need for kids physically to get out and to exercise, and, you know, we know that sports teaches children, you know, about working well with others and about winning and sometimes losing. Mm. And all of the great attributes, not only the physical attributes, but the other leadership attributes that go with outdoor sports and indoor sports. And then, of course, for us as a ministry, all of our partner leagues across the nation also have a gospel-centered approach to those leagues. And so every child that participates in Upward Sports will hear the gospel at halftime of every game.
A lot of kids are looking for answers, and if you can use something that they're interested in, a ball, a hoop, man, you got them. And then if you can sneak a little bit of the gospel message in there, more times than not, you got them hooked.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of the things that we're so thankful for through the pandemic, that God's allowed us to continue to work with churches throughout this crisis, because we know that the need is greater. And we also know that the need to spread the gospel is as great as it's ever been. And, you know, kids need Christ, their parents need Christ. And we're privileged to partner with churches to allow us to be a small part in using sports in a creative way to reach kids.
That's Kevin Drake with Upward Sports, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The Arctic cold rush sending our temperatures tumbling last night remains in place today, but we'll hit the road tonight, and tomorrow is a milder day. On the weather map, though, we see a pattern that will likely bring in more cold air late this week and the weekend before a potentially more substantial warm-up arrives next week. For this afternoon, though, it's all about the cold. We'll have sun, mixed clouds, still a couple of scattered lake flurries around, high temperatures mid-20s to the mid-30s. Then for tonight, pretty clear in eastern Pennsylvania. Elsewhere, some clouds will arrive. Temperatures drop into the teens and 20s and rise overnight. Tomorrow, some sun and clouds, a late-day rain or snow shower western and central New York, but milder, high in the 40s. Colder again Thursday, sun, clouds, and lake flurries, and high temperatures, mostly in the 30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, meet an Alabama girl who's selling lemonade for a very good cause.
And then we mix it.
At Liza's Lemonade Stand in Birmingham, the menu options are extensive.
Decorating stuff, candy canes.
7-year-old Liza Scott using all the proceeds from her lemonade stand to help pay for her brain surgeries.
Thank you. $100.
The little girl will undergo several operations this month to try and fix the seizures she's been having. Her mom says her faith is what's getting her by.
You know, in the moments when I feel like I can't breathe or awake in the night and I can't sleep, I pray. I'm on my hands and knees, literally praying.
Elizabeth Scott says when life hands you lemons,
she makes amazing lemonade.
So far, Liza's lemonade stand has raised over $20,000 for her upcoming operations. Liza Scott will go under the knife on Thursday. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.